Pray with me. All gracious and vulnerable God, I ask that you would quiet our minds, that you would inspire and open our hearts to your presence within us and around us. Amen. Please be seated. So have you ever gotten this call from a friend? Hey, I've got some great news for you. And then you stop and you listen to that call and you wonder, what's the good news that you're telling me? I have this friend, John. He was a neighbor of mine. And what his job was is he installed library systems like bookshelves and stuff like that in large, well, it might have been a municipality, easy for me to say, right? Schools and municipalities and other places. And I lived right down the street from him, and he would call me typically only when he needed to bring me good news like that. In other words, that he had something for me to help him with. He had this knack, and John is a great guy, and so he would call me, hey, Tommy, I have some good news for you. And it was always, okay, tell me a little more. And he would have me, because at the time I did a lot of woodworking, so I had all these tools in my garage, and he would have me, you know, modify things that didn't quite fit right, or sometimes I'd go out to the job site and help him install and stuff like that. So, you know, this good news that he was bringing forth to me, there was a little bit of like wondering, what's the good news? Maybe you all can relate to this. Maybe you have a friend who calls you kind of in those times when they need your help and they know that you can help them specifically. Maybe you have a truck and they need to move some things. So I don't think that this is necessarily anything new, right? I think we've all experienced that. Maybe we've been on the side of calling the people to say, hey, I've got some good news for you. Can you come and help me? So as I was reading this week's lessons, that image of John calling me at those times really kind of was very present in my mind. That might seem odd, doesn't it? Because in our readings today, as we look at them, Jonah, in particular, Jonah and Mark, they show us in many ways what a response and a call is meant to be. So you all know that we're in Epiphany. Epiphany stands for that manifestation, the revealing of Christ within our midst. Where is God? What is God doing in our midst? So these readings in many ways are trying to open our eyes, shall we say, to reveal to us what God is doing. So let's look a little bit at these readings. So Jonah, everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? You've probably been heard it multiple times. So before we get to where we are in our readings today, Jonah has been called by God to go out and proclaim to Nineveh, this city that is, in many ways, it's a great city, it says, but it's also doing some pretty bad things. God is calling Jonah to go out and proclaim and help them to see, to be revealed. So, like me, maybe you all can relate, Jonah hears this, and what's he do? He heads the opposite way, right? He hears this call and he says, yeah, my response is going to be, I'm going to go the other way. And he goes the other way. As you all know the story, he gets on a ship. The ship is this huge wild storm that's going on. The people, the sailors, even realize that this is an act of God. They cast lots and they understand that it's Jonah is the reason why this huge storm is going on. And they throw Jonah over. He gets swallowed by the fish, and he spends 3 days in the belly of the fish. This is where we come in. This is where our reading for today comes in. It says, go and proclaim, God says to Jonah a second time, go and proclaim what I ask you to proclaim, what I'll have you proclaim to Nineveh. reluctantly, Jonah goes on, and he does this great city. He goes in there, and he says 6 or 7 words, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. My first thought was I would just preach that and then walk away and see what kind of response I had, right? Because in the story, he does that, and it says that, and the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. A little bit farther, we jump over some of the parts where the king of Nineveh tells his subjects that everybody needs to mourn, and even the animals need to mourn and not eat. It's a little bit, you know, kind of going a little bit farther. But then God changes God's mind. So you have this juxtaposition, you have this prophet who really should know God, turns around and goes the other way. You have this terrible city, this great city is the way it describes, but this city that needs to change, they hear this short sermon and they turn. Teshuva is the Hebrew name for repentance, and it says to turn. Actually, it says to return. We'll get to that in a second. So now, we look at our Gospel of Mark. To get us up to speed with Mark, what's happening in Mark is that we have Jesus had been baptized. He was sent immediately out into the wilderness. Then we get to our reading today. He's coming out back from the wilderness, and he is now presented as really beginning his ministry. It says that John is arrested and he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and what does he proclaim? He says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." It goes on a little bit and he sees these two sets of brothers. He sees Simon and Andrew, and then he sees James and John, and their response is immediate. That's almost hard for me to believe. And it's hard for me to understand, because I don't know if you're anything like me, but so often, if I hear a call from God, or what I think is a call from God, kind of like my call from my friend John, I'm a little bit reluctant. I'm questioning. Sometimes it's not so great news. There's a saying that says, the truth will set you free, but at first it will make you miserable. And I think on some level, that holds true for the gospel, for the good news. But we have heard it so often, the good news, the gospel, we've heard it so often, and that the people of Nineveh changed and returned. We've heard it so often that I wonder if it really hits us the way it should. Because what God is doing in these stories is he's trying to show us what a call and response is supposed to be. That in many ways he shows us the call and the response of John and Andrew and James and Simon as ones who are very faithful. And he also shows that faithfulness in the people of Nineveh. This country, this city that is totally against Israel. It's the enemy, so to speak. And I think on some level what this shows us, at least it shows me, is that I want the good news for me and my friends, but I don't always want the good news for my enemies. And I don't want the good news sometimes for the people who I don't get along with. And that, in many ways, is what these stories are about. They're challenging us. They're confronting us. The good news is really to challenge us and to confront us to look in a different way. See, that's what repent means, is to return, in Hebrew, is to return to our initial blessing, our initial stance, our initial position that we had with God. You following? That we each had a position where we were blessed with God and blessed by God. As one theologian, Rohr, says, you have divine DNA. And so often we forget that, at least I do. That I have been created in God's image and likeness, and I can't take that image away. And really, the call and response, the response is me trying to live back into the likeness of God. And these stories, especially the Jonah story, show how caring and how merciful and compassionate our God is. And honestly, sometimes that's really difficult. I want God to be compassionate and kind and merciful to me, but not always to other people. But what this story, what Jonah's story is really showing us, is how God's love, God's compassion, is extended to all humanity. And some would say all creation. So the challenge is for us to try to heed that call and respond to it. Have you ever had a thought when you're shopping or doing a number of things and you have a call, you have a thought to call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time? Well, I think that is God, I think that's the Holy Spirit within us urging us, calling us, as you will, to make a call. Have you ever been confronted with something, maybe it's a homeless person, maybe it's somebody that you would rather not be around, but you in some ways are being urged, invited, to go ahead and participate with them, help them. And it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. It makes you feel a little squeamish. I think that is God. The Holy Spirit is working in you, trying to invite you into participating in the life of the kingdom that they talk about. Because, see, it's when we respond to that call, it's when we respond to that invitation and that urging of God that our faithfulness starts to come to fruition, and we start to live and we start to see, or at least taste a little bit of what the kingdom is. But it's only by responding to that that we get a chance to taste, shall we say, in that kingdom. So I wonder what it would be like if, when you had those thoughts about calling that person you haven't talked to, or helping that person that might make you feel uncomfortable, or doing those things that I believe God and the Holy Spirit is urging us onto, what might your life be like if you welcomed that kind of call? If you responded to that invitation . I wonder what this church would be like if we did that. I wonder what this world would be like if we responded to those urgings, those invitations that we get. And I think that is truly when we respond with the positive, so to speak, when we say that, yes, I will do this. That truly is when the kingdom of heaven is close by. And we get to taste a little bit of that kingdom. And that is my prayer for all of us, is that as we are urged and as we are invited within our hearts, and we're being called to be of service to humanity, that we would answer that call. Will you please stand and reaffirm?